Good morning, everybody. We're in Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15 this morning. One quick announcement. If you're looking in the bulletin and you look in there for the wedding shower information, baby shower information. Sorry. Baby shower information. I thought it would be cute to put Molly's name in pink. Unfortunately, the printer decided that pink was not going to be a color that it was going to print every time. So about half the bulletins have nothing. The other half has part of Molly. About a third of the other half have about part of Molly. And then the rest of it have Molly and the last name. But so if you got one of the ones that's lucky, consider yourself lucky, but otherwise you'll have to fill in Molly with your own self. I didn't catch it soon enough. I didn't want to reprint everything, but it's what I get for being cute.
Emerson wasn't lucky enough.
Oh, Emerson wasn't lucky enough. Was yours? All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into Revelation chapter 15. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us today and strengthen us and help us as we go through the book of Revelation. Help us to understand the images that we see and learn how to apply them. And we ask, Father, that you strengthen us in our faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're in Revelation 15, and we are going to go back to verse 2. And in verse 2, we had a question at the end of class. In verse 2, it says that I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass. So we had four images, okay? The first image was victory over the beast. The second was his image. The third was his mark. And the fourth one was what?
His name.
His number, which also is his name. Remember? All right. Now, that's the way it is in the King James and the New King James, but some of the more modern translations only have three. They have the first three. They don't have the fourth one. And so I've done some digging, and the manuscripts, remember how we talked at the very beginning of our study of Revelation, how there were basically two groups of manuscripts, one that was centered in Rome and one that was centered in Alexandria, and those groups of manuscripts, you know, as the Catholic Church and the Protestants who were breaking away from it began to battle, the Catholics held on very tightly to the manuscripts they had, and the Alexandrians held on to the manuscripts they had, there began to be an argument over which ones are the most accurate. Even today, you really have arguments over which ones are the most accurate. And this is one of those areas where one group has three and the other group has four. And frankly, I couldn't find out which group had which. Go ahead, May. More than anything else, they are named after that library, but these are manuscripts that are from that general geographic area, and they're mostly fragments, and
Some of them might have been in that library. Some of them, most of them probably weren't. It's just that that's the general geographic area, and it's named after that famous library. So probably we, you know, probably not actually in the library. But you're right, that it is named after that famous library. But it's not, it's mainly because it's a geographic area, because it's Egypt versus Rome, okay? Or west versus east, okay? And in the Catholic Church, you've still got east and west. You've got the Roman Catholic Church is the western branch, and the Eastern Orthodox Church is the eastern branch, and so that's kind of what you got there. Remember, the Eastern Orthodox, the East or whatever, they don't use instruments of music. They sing a cappella, remember? And so that's kind of an interesting thing. But that's kind of where the difference is. Now, go ahead.
Isn't the mark of the beast?
Right, that's what I was going to give you next. Carl pointed out, as we were talking after class, that essentially the mark and his number are identical. They stand for the same thing. Okay? So in essence, it doesn't matter whether you have a 3 or a 4 listing, because they talk the same way. The only reason that it would make a difference is if you are wanting to be consistent with the number system. Remember? And I want to argue that I believe that there are 4. There should be 4. I kind of go with the Eastern part, and mainly because, now I'm not doing it on scholarship, because I don't know enough about the scholarship. But I'm doing it on the fact that there are, that we have a difference. We're going to see when we get into chapter 16, okay, we're going to see 7 vials, or 7 what? Bowls, okay? You can translate that word either way, a vial or a bowl. There's no Ian Bull. Okay. Now I don't even know how to spell it. Okay. Anyway. Oh, just forget it. This is not my day for writing things, is it? This is parallel to the 7 trumpets. In fact, we're going to see that these 7 vials, or the 7 bowls, have many of the same exact images that were in the 7 trumpets. But the 7 trumpets all centered around the number 3, which is what? What does the number 3 talk about? Anybody?
Divinity.
Say it again.
Divinity.
Divinity, yeah. Talks about the divine. So when it talks about, when it gives trumpet warnings about the things that are divine in man, it's talking about the spirit. All right? When we get into the 7 vials, we're going to have the number 4. What's 4? The things that are earthly, okay, or physical. So what we're going to see is that they parallel one another, because they're telling us the same time frame, they're telling us the same pictures of the time between Jesus' ascension into heaven and his return for the day of judgment. But in the one, he's talking about spiritual things, in the other, he's talking about physical things that happen because of the wrath of God, because of the animosity the world has against God. So if the number 4 is key in the 7 vials, then it makes sense to me that the number 4 ought, in the introduction, which is chapter 15, ought to make an appearance there. So that's why I go, that's why I lean toward the 4 numbers instead of, I mean, the 4 categories instead of just 3, simply because I see it as a bridge into the rest of chapter 16 and everything. But again, it's inconclusive as to which of the, you know, manuscript evidence we want to go with. Okay? So I'll give you my best answer, probably leave you more confused than before. But let's go back, and look at what it said. Notice one thing, it says they have the people who are standing on the sea of glass are those who have the victory, right? The word victory can also be translated and is translated in other places in Revelation with one of our favorite words, overcome. Remember, the whole theme of Revelation is what? He who overcomes. It's all about overcoming. And the picture we have here is that we've just finished and gotten up to the point of the day of judgment, all right? And we're about to, just like we've done before, we followed something up to the day of judgment. Now we go back, and we're going to follow something up to the day of judgment again. And this is like the third time that we're doing that, all right? The first one was the seals. The second one was the trumpets, and the third one is the bowls. Okay? And again, you got 3 because 3 is a what? 3 is a divine number. So you've got, this is a divine picture of all those things that are going to take place, right? But we're in the process of going, in transitioning to look at the bowls. But we're still at the end right here. And at the end is the day of judgment, right? And this day of judgment has those who overcome, they're standing before who? They're standing where?
Judgment.
Well, they're in judgment, but they're standing where? They're standing on what? What's the picture? A sea of glass. The sea of glass in chapter 4 is before what? Yes, before the throne of God. All right, but there's a picture, remember, later on in this chapter, they're not yet in the temple with God, dwelling with God. They're standing before God because they have to what? They have to witness the day of judgment. Now, that's one of the things we need to keep in mind as we go this, okay? So let's go back. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints." Now, that's another, there's another possibility there. Instead of it being saints, it can be, where is it? Can be nations. Revelation 15 and verse 3. Revelation 15 and 3. It can be nations, but it can also, it's some manuscripts have nations, some manuscripts have saints. If saints is the one, who's it talking about? Christians. If it's the nations, who's he talking about? Everybody, right. Yours throws in ages? We're throwing his Bible out. No, no, don't throw it out. No. You know, I have no idea on that, but I don't know. There's got to be another manuscript evidence for it. Let me see. I have here the New English translation with the notes, and it says in the translator notes, it says certain manuscripts, and then it gives numbers, read ages,
instead of nations. Other manuscripts read saints. Okay, well, that's not helpful at all.
Okay, so now, you're right, there are manuscripts that have ages, and there are manuscripts that have saints, and there are manuscripts that have nations. The main part of it is, Jesus is what? He's king over all. Right. King over all. Go ahead, Carl.
Okay, also, like it says, I saw what looked like a sea of glass with fire, and standing beside the sea, for those who were in their parades, not on the sea, but beside the sea.
Standing beside the sea. Okay, the preposition epe with the accusative case can mean on, at, by, or near. So, there's no manuscript variant there. It's just, you've got that picture. It's the word epe, and it can be translated on, at, by, or near. But if you have a word picture. You remember the cheese and the cat that I, the image that I handed out? If you look up epe then, you've got a picture of a mouse on top of the cheese. He's sitting on the cheese. That's epe. So I think that there are occasions when you put in. To make it into English, you can put by or near or whatever. But you'll notice that the very first word is on. So I don't know why they would choose by, but they maybe because by doing it by, and you know that this is the sea of glass, it's in front of the throne of God, but you also know that God is dwelling in the temple, they're saying, well, they're not in the and we know that they're not in the temple yet. Maybe they're saying that that's why they choose to put by instead of on. I don't know. That's a guess. Who knows?
Well, it just means they're there.
Yeah, it really basically does. It just basically means they're there. They're there. That's right. Okay. Any more? Real quick? Just. For now, we go to the next verse, okay? Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifest. Now, the picture there is like the picture of in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul says, every knee will what? Will bow. And so this is at the day of judgment. Every knee is going to bow. It doesn't matter whether you have not believed and you've been stubborn all your life and you don't want to believe in God, on the day of judgment, you are going to what?
You're going to bow.
You're going to bow. It's going to be obvious. Yeah, they're not going to have a choice. It's going to be obvious. There is no other conclusion. There's no doubt, period. You're going to bow, period. All right? And your judgments have been manifested, and the idea there is that to be manifested means to be made visible. All right? So here's the picture. The day of judgment, the Christians are standing with what? They're standing with or by or on or what? They're with who? They're with God, right? And the Christians are going to witness the manifestation of God's judgment. And it's going to be on everybody, right? Now, will Christians be judged? Yes, we will. But will we be judged in the same manner as those who are not Christians? No, we won't. Are we talking and including in this those Christians who have gone astray? No, we're not, because we're specifically looking at the Christians who have overcome. They've been victorious. So we're looking at the Christians who are faithful on the day of judgment, you know? And we're not looking at Christians who are not faithful. The Christians who are not faithful are going to actually be where? With what group?
Sinners.
With the sinners, right. With the lost. All right. Now, after these things, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Now, that's a big mouthful. The temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Let's take a look at that. First of all, let me ask, Carl, does yours have anything different? I just want to check it out real quick before we go any further. It has everything? Wow. All right. I want someone to go. Philip, go to John chapter 1 for me and look up verse 14. John 1:14. Okay? Be ready to read that in just a moment. All right. The temple
is a reference to what?
Israelites.
Yeah. Okay. It's probably a reference to Israel and to the building, right, that has been built, right? That's probably where it originates. Tabernacle. What is tabernacle? Okay, this is what they had before the temple, right? So, it's also Israel, but it's not a building, it's a what? It's a tent, okay? And then, what's the last one? Testimony. What is a testimony? Testimony is a witness.
Piece this together. First of all, let's start with tabernacle. We'll start with the middle. Okay? John chapter 1, verse 14. Read that for me.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth.
All right. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word dwelt is literally the word tabernacled. It's a verb form of the word tabernacle. So, what is it saying? It's telling us in John chapter 1 that Jesus did what? Well, he dwelt among us, he lived among us, but he did what? He took on what? Took on human form, and that human form is described as being a tabernacle, a tent. Paul uses the same image in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when he talks about we dwell in tents of what? Flesh. But we will dwell in what? A building made not with a building made not with hands. All right? What building made not with hands is pictured in Revelation? The temple. All right? And testimony. Testimony is a witness, but what does a witness do? How does a witness at a court hearing give his testimony? What does he do? He utters what? He utters words.
What did we read in John chapter 1 about Jesus was what? Initially, he was referred to in John 1 as what? The Word. Hebrews chapter 1 says that he is God's final word to man. So, what we have here, these three things are all opened.
What opened them?
Jesus did.
Yeah, exactly. The picture is, this is the day of judgment, all right? But we're transitioning to go back into another picture. But we're picturing here that this ability to be in the temple and all of that is because it's been opened by Jesus. When we started off, the seals, the picture of the seals, we had to wait for the seals until someone could appear who could do what? Open the seals. When we saw the trumpets, we had to wait for someone who could give the command. And now we have the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven open, and verse 6, out of this temple come the seven angels who have the seven plagues. Again, it's a picture of Christ. Nothing happens except because Christ enables it to happen. So that's another clue that we're looking at the time frame between his ascension and his return. And we're about to look into the third go-around of this time frame between his ascension and his return. We're about to look at it again, and it's all because Jesus came. And he's made it possible for human beings to do what? To go to heaven. Right. It's as simple as that. It's possible for human beings to go to heaven. But now, one of the reasons for Revelation is because we still live where? We're still living in the world. And because we're living in the world, we need to know the types of things that are going to go on so that we will remain faithful and strive to overcome so that we can do what? So that we can go to heaven. So we need to know what types of things are going to be happening so that we're not taken by surprise, so that we're not discouraged, we don't give up. Because if we know that it's going to happen, we're better able to do what? We're better able to overcome. If you know that there's a tornado coming, how can you prepare? Yeah. Take cover, right? If you know, say you lived in California in one of those areas that have forest fires all the time. You know that there's a forest fire possibility. What are you going to do? You know that to keep things packed so that you can get out, right? In fact, they've even got new things now that if you know that there's a forest fire coming your way, they've got this really cool thing now. You can spray your house with a foam retardant that will stay on your house for 4 days. And any fire that comes and touches that retardant just snuffs out. And after 4 days, it biodegrades. It's made out of this. You want to know what it's made out of? It's made out of the stuff in absorbent diapers. And it's full of water. That's what puts the fire out and protects you out. So if you know that if you have the money, it takes a lot of money to do it, but if you have the money to spray your house and you know the fire's coming, you will do what? You'll do what? You'll spray it. As long as it's not more than 4 days before the fire gets there, right? You'll spray it. You'll take precautions. You'll take the initiative, and you'll make yourself certain. That's the picture that we've got here. Okay. All right. Now let's go and look at these angels. These angels came. They are clothed in pure, bright linen. Now, linen is this. Bright linen, this white linen, is always symbolic of what?
Purity.
So these angels are coming from where? They're coming from God. And they are pure. They're pure angels, all right? So we know that they're on which side? They're the good guys. They're wearing white, right? By the way, I wonder if that's where the good guys wear white comes from. I don't know. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, wearing white linen, right.
And linen is, most of the time, the linen that I used to buy, you mostly had to dry clean it. If you hurried to wash it, and it would shrink.
Mm-hmm, right, right.
And it is, if you've got good linen, pure linen, I'm not talking about mixed, that was okay, but pure linen that I would get for...
Yeah, and the older it gets, the softer it gets. Oh, I love linen stuff. Yeah. All right. They have their chest girded with golden bands. Now, these golden bands kind of picture the kind of sash that Miss America wears in the pageants, okay? What is the purpose of a golden sash? A golden band.
We see it today. We know they've got money to buy it.
Okay, yeah, money, right.
It sets you apart.
It sets you apart, exactly. The whole idea is that this was, going back into this time frame, with both the Jews and the Romans and things like that, a royal envoy, someone who is there to do the bidding of the king, who is going to act with the king's authority, would quite often wear something that would signify that he is from the king. And what he would wear would be some sort of either a sash this way, or it might even be a sash this way, you know, around. But it would be something, and it would be gold, because who could afford gold? Only the king. So if he's wearing gold, that probably means that we should know that he's acting on authority of the king. Now, they're coming out of the temple, all right, and they're wearing white linen, which signifies purity, but they're also wearing the golden bands around their chest, which signifies authority, all right? And notice this, verse 7, one of the four living creatures. Who are the four living creatures? We saw them where? They're around the throne of God in chapter 4, and every time that we've gotten to one of these things, one of the four living creatures has been involved. Okay? In doing something. So, again, we don't know which of the four living creatures, but we've had one case where we could identify which of the four living creatures, and it was the one that flew like a what? Flew like an eagle. But the others, you know, we just have one of the four living creatures. We don't know which one. So, but one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. Now, the picture here is of a bowl or a vial. The word can be translated either way. The picture is that this is something that has been given that contains something. All right? So, if it's the reason vial is sometimes used and not bowl is because a vial can be what? A vial can be stoppered. All right? And you have to unstopper it in order to you pour it out. Where if you have a bowl, you could do what? You could accidentally spill it. All right? That's a minor detail. When you're talking about angels, they're not going to stumble, right? Okay. You're talking about me, you better have a stopper, right? All right, so they're full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. Now, why are we talking about the wrath of God? Why is the wrath of God... Now, the full wrath of God is not going to happen till when? Till the day of judgment. But now we're going back to the beginning of the time period, and we're going to go again through the whole Christian age. Why is he talking about the wrath of God? Turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Do you remember in John 3 how Jesus says to Nicodemus, for God so loved what? So loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All right? Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's usually as far as most people read. But look at verse 18. And this helps us to see what is being talked about over here in chapter 15 of Revelation. The wrath of God is already. Let's take a look at this. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Because what? He has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. That the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. In other words, the picture here is that we're going to be seeing here in chapter 15 and 16 as we go into these bowls of wrath, is that this, we're going to see that this wrath, these plagues, which they haven't been identified yet as plagues, but they will be in the next verse, these plagues are things that happen to people because they reject what? They reject God, they reject the light. It's a result of their own what? Their own actions, their own unbelief, their own sin. So these are, what we're going to see here is that these bowls are the results of their own actions. So we're going to see things pictured in this symbolic form that help us that are the result of what people do in their life. Okay? Now, look at verse 8. It says, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. So now we have gone back to the beginning. We've gone from this back to the beginning. And we're about to see the picture of the bowls. And the idea is, you know, again, let's go back to John 3. The idea there was, in John 3, the picture there is everybody is condemned, and the condemnation is with us, and we don't like the light, and we live in darkness, and we hate the light and all that. But if we come to believe in Jesus, then our actions will become what?
Like Jesus.
Yeah, our actions will become like Jesus. Our actions will become like that God desires. So the picture in John 3 is of the reality that we live in a sinful world and that we're sinful people, but that if we believe in Jesus and we act upon that belief, we can be rescued out of the world. Essentially, that's the same image we're going to see with these seven bowls. These are the things that happen in the world. All right? They're the result of sin. But if we know that they're the result of sin and we know who the answer to sin is, if we turn to Christ, what will happen? We'll be what, May? We'll be forgiven and Say it again.
Purified.
Saved from the wrath of God. We still might have to deal with the wrath that is in the world because there's an awful lot of cause and effect, right? But this cause and effect does not have to carry over into eternity for us if we turn to Christ. For those who are in the world who'd never come to Christ, the cause and effect carries over into where? Carries over into eternity. And so that's the imagery we've got to keep in mind as we start going into chapter 16. All right. Let's take a look at chapter 16. We're just... Go ahead.
One thing. You know, people have always... They'll learn John 3:16. But the other verses, they don't look at.
Right.
And they just think, God so loved the world.
Right.
And so He loves me and I'm not going to be lost, but they don't read.
They don't read the rest of it. Exactly. Yeah, you got to have. You can't have verse 16 without verse 18. And a lot of people want to. All right, let's just take a quick overview of verse of chapter 16. We're not going to deal any more in details this morning. But notice what we have. All right, we have seven bowls. The first bowl is going to have loathsome sores. It's going to be poured upon the earth. The second bowl is going to have the sea turning to blood. The third bowl will have waters turning to blood. The fourth bowl, men are going to be scorched. The fifth bowl is darkness and pain. The sixth bowl is going to be the Euphrates River drying up. And the seventh bowl will bring us right back into the presence of God again for the day of judgment. And there will be the earth will be utterly shaken and it will be cried out from the throne, "It is done." Very reminiscent, not exactly the same word, but very reminiscent of what was shouted on the cross by Jesus. What did He say? "It is finished." It means the same thing. It means the same thing. And so when it gets to the seventh bowl, we're going to be back to the day of judgment in the picture. Okay? So take a moment during the week. Read through it, but as you read through it, remind yourself these are symbols. These are symbols. They are, and some of the symbols we've seen before, and some of the symbols get identified for us a little bit later on. There are no symbols that we cannot understand, but they are symbols. They are not literal. So read through it. Don't get scared when you read through it because these are not literal. These are symbols. And we'll talk about it next week. Any last minute comments? Carl, anything new from your translation? We're okay? All right. Thanks, guys, for a good class. Appreciate it.